Good morning, beloved. What a blessing it is again to be in the presence of the Lord as we're dealing with this COVID-19 coronavirus. We said last week that even though our campus is shut down right now, or our services, in-person services, are suspended, the church of the living God is not suspended. We are still carrying on the work of saving souls and inviting those who do not know our God and His Christ to come to the saving grace of God. This morning, we're going to continue what we began last Sabbath in the rubric, the theme, the Dress Right series. The Dress Right series. But before we begin, I want to pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come and take possession of us so that the Word of God will go out with power and potency that saves. Pray with me, Yahweh, the hour is come that your son Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, should be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will call or draw all men, all women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Amen. Last week, in part one of the Dress Right series, we shared from Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. And we said that we're living in a very strange world, not necessarily because of the things that are happening in our world today, but because the world does not know what to do with and how to handle what is going on. The world is in shock, beloved. The world is looking around, running to and fro, trying to find an answer. The world is looking around, trying to find an answer to this crisis. But we know what it is. Those of us who are sons and daughters of God, we said in part one that we are confronting ourselves. We are dealing with the fact that we are confronting ourselves. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we're living in a world that has evicted God out of his own creation, if you will. A world that has chosen to ignore who God is. We have taken our own preservations in our own hands. We have abused the atmosphere. We've abused the creatures that God created. We have polluted the environment. We have abused each other, and we have abused self. Matter of fact, we're living in a world that has chosen to live by its own creed, We've murdered unborn babies because we're not willing to take responsibility for the choices that we've made to satisfy our lustful desires. And now, like I said last week, the chickens are coming home to roost. We've chosen to ignore God's given diet, and we've elected to eat whatever we want to eat, however we want to eat it. We've ignored the natural use of the man and the woman, and we've settled for the unnatural use of men on men and women on women. And we're asking ourselves what's going on. We are reaping the whirlwind of our amoral and unnatural desires. But I thank God that those of us who call ourselves sons and daughters of God, those who are covered under the blood of Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, don't have to panic. We don't have to be afraid because we have the antidote to this pestilence. Paul tells us, and we read and discussed last week in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, that there are two formulas that we need to be able to combat this crisis and endure to the end. The first, he says, is we need spiritual strength. Ephesians chapter 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord, our strength should be in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need spiritual strength. But the second formula that he gives us is supernatural suit. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so here we are. If we're going to be able to endure to the end, if we're going to be able to survive what's coming upon our world, we need spiritual strength and supernatural suit. This morning, we want to deal with and move on to part two of the Dress Right series. And I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we're going to use as the backdrop for our discussion this morning. The first is what I call our collateral passage, and it's found in John 17 and verse 17. The second is our sermonic or our scripture passage that is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 and 14. John 17, 17, Jesus himself is speaking when he prays for his church. He says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. If I were to put a tag on this message, it will be alternative truth and alternative righteousness won't do. Alternative truth and alternative righteousness won't do. About 3 years ago, or maybe a little more than that, Mrs. Kellyanne Conway was defending Sean Spicer, the then press secretary for President Donald Trump, who had come on national television during the press briefing and lied to the country, yea, the world. In that defense, on national TV, on CNN, Kellyanne Conway said that Sean Spicer was offering an alternative fact. An alternative fact? Since when did truth become relative? Or since when did we begin to accept facts that are alternative? Beloved, there is no alternative truth or no alternative fact. Truth is constant. Truth is truth. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. That's a definite article, not a truth, but the truth, and the truth will make you free. But this is the world that we are living in today, a world of alternative truth, a world of alternative righteousness. But I want you to know, beloved, that if we are going to be able to make it in these times, we have to refuse to accept alternative truth and alternative righteousness. Paul says that we need to put on the full armor of God. When the scientists and the researchers go into the laboratory to try to find a cure, a remedy, a vaccine for a virus or what the Bible calls pestilence, they do not go into the lab with their regular clothes on. They may be rich. They may buy their clothes from places like Nordstrom. They may have high dollar suits that are expensive and nice, but they don't walk in a lab with those suits on. They have a prescribed suit that they wear, a suit that is worthy of the laboratory. They wear prescribed footwear, a prescribed garment, prescribed headgear, prescribed masks, prescribed gloves, because they realize that they are entering into a space that has a lot of contaminants. And if they're not careful, those live diseases or viruses that they're using to try to find an antidote can kill them. So they have to be suited. We said last week that Paul says we must be spiritually strong and supernaturally suited. And now he gives us five articles or five pieces that make up this outfit. This morning, I want us to talk about two of these articles of clothing. The first is the belt of truth. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14a, gird your loins about with truth. Paul is using the idea of a Roman soldier's outfit for war. During the Roman Empire, the Roman army would dress in several pieces of military gear. One was what is called the turgis, P-T-E-R-U-G-E-S, turgis. It was a form of a skirt that was made of feather-like leather or thick linen. And the Roman soldier will gird his loins. It covered his waist to his knee. And then he would fasten it with a prescribed leather belt. This belt was intended to hold this turgis in place, this skirt in place, so that during the heat of the battle, the soldier would not be undressed. It covered his loins. It covered his private parts. It was intended to keep the soldier in formation. Paul says that truth is intended to do that for us. Truth is the belt that fastens our spiritual turgis, if you will, about us. There's no alternative to truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth, the belt of truth that we need, beloved, is the word of God. That word sanctified means to set aside for holy use. We can only be set aside in times such as these for holy use if we are girded with the belt of the truth of God's word. We don't need alternative truth. We need the truth of the promises of God today, beloved. The truth that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no alternative to that. The truth that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The truth that said, that says, a thousand shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. The truth that said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The truth that says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil come nigh thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. That truth that says, and he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They will carry thee in their arms, lest thou kick thy foot against the stone. That is the truth. The truth that says, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. The truth of God. We need truth today. We do not need alternative to the truth of God's word. The second thing that the apostle says, make up a part of this five-piece outfit is righteousness. The Roman soldier's outfit was a breastplate that was made of pieces of metal, or metal plates that overlapped each other, that covered him from his shoulder, right below his neck, down to his waist, and it overlapped that leather belt that fastened his stirrups around his loins. And so Paul is using this idea of the breastplate that protects the vital organs. It covered the torso of the Roman soldier. Paul says that this breastplate is righteousness. In other words, beloved, truth and righteousness go hand in hand. You cannot have truth without righteous actions. And remember, our righteousness is not of ourselves. It is the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness covers us. We cannot depend on our own righteousness. It has to be His righteousness, because it is His truth. We cannot depend on alternative righteousness. We cannot depend on our own wit. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who is living in us. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word in you. We have to be in him, and he has to be in us. And it is that righteousness that covers us. Oh, beloved, the word of God say, our righteousness is like filthy rags. But thank God that we cannot depend on our righteousness. We have to depend on his righteousness. So here are the first two pieces of this five-piece outfit that we must be dressed right in if we're going to be able to stand in these evil days and against the wiles of the devil. We need the belt of truth, and we need the breastplate of righteousness. It covers our lungs. It covers our heart. It covers our internal vital organs. The Roman soldier wore this breastplate made of metals or metal plates that overlapped each other so that it would defend against the piercing of the sword when he was in a fight with the enemy. I thank God this morning, and I thank God today, that we have an outfit. We can be in this world contaminated with all that is coming upon the world, but we don't have to be victims of it, because we can dress right. Oh, I thank God that greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in you. This morning, I want you to leave knowing that Yeshua is with us. Yeshua will keep us. Yeshua will preserve us. Yeshua will protect us. Yeshua will provide for us. Oh, and bless God, one day Yeshua is coming back to take us from this world, to evacuate us from this world, to take us to a place that John saw in Revelation 21 when he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned to meet her husband. I heard a voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall be with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more pain, neither suffering. There shall be no more crying, for the former things shall have passed away.' Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the seas or on the streets of glory, there to raise my voice. All my cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I have my mind made up, the songwriter says, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday." Alternative truth and alternative righteousness wouldn't do. May God bless us. May God keep us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be blessed, child of God. And if you don't know God in the saving of your soul, I ask you to get on your knees wherever you are. You don't have to pray like a preacher. You can say, "Father, come into my heart. I accept you as my creator, as my redeemer, as my coming King. Forgive me and give me this new life in Jesus." And I can promise you, my friend, your life will never be the same again. I'll see you here next week, next Sabbath morning at 9 a.m. Same place, same time. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. Amen.
Flow for grace. Oh, flow grace. Oh, flow grace. Oh, for grace. Oh, there was no amazing grace. you wouldn't be where you are right now. Some of us was messed up. God brought us into the fold. Now we're dressed up. Can somebody say, it's but by the grace of God that I am what I am, that I know what I know, and that I serve who I serve. I lift your hand and tell God, I thank you for your grace. Ooh.